Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship here at Kemnay Kirk. To all who are here in person, all who are watching live online, especially our friends at Littlewood Court, and to all who are watching on catch-up service during the week, we are delighted to have each and every one of you join us for this time of worship together. A few intimations at the start of our time. First of all, just a reminder, this week on Tuesday morning at 10 a.m., we'll have our next prayer meeting at the church center. And this will be held downstairs in the church center. Is that right, Suzanne? So all who are interested and would have to have time to come along and join together in a time of prayer with an open heart and an open mind, that's this Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. Also, I would like to announce that on Tuesday the 13th of August at 7:30 p.m., we'll have our next meeting of Kirk Session. So all elders, please do mark your diaries for the meeting of Session, Tuesday 13th of August at 7:30 p.m. On Tuesday the 20th of August at 7 o'clock, we'll have our next meeting of the men's group at the church center. And our speaker will be this fine fellow behind me, David Hendricks, our parish assistant. So all interested men, please do make your interest known to Leslie Mackay and come along for a time of fellowship and, of course, food as well. But ask as well to draw your attention to an intimation about our usage of Microsoft Teams, which ties in with the usage of O365. This is to say that training videos for the use of Microsoft Teams are now available for viewing. You can find these in the Teams app and the team page under the team of KPC All Users. And look for the O365 Training Material tab on the top of the page. And as ever, when it comes to Teams and O365, if you need any help accessing these videos or any other guidance, please speak with this other fine fellow over here, Mr. Jim Buchan, and he'd be very pleased to help you out. But we are very thankful, Jim, for all of your hard work in getting O365 and Teams up and running. It's a massive effort, but it's paying dividends already and helping to run our church and facilitate communication and teamwork. So thank you very much, Jim, for that. Been also asked to announce that at Loaves and Fishes, we have new volunteer opportunities. And please speak with our manager, Suzanne Bunton, for information. If you have time and interest to become a volunteer at Loaves and Fishes, your involvement would be warmly appreciated. And last but most certainly not least, I would invite our treasurer, Mr. Andrew Radcliffe, forward for another announcement about the Kirk News. Andrew.
Good morning. I'm here as a Kirk News editor, and you'll notice that the August Kirk News is now out. And if you look in the center pages, you'll see a survey. And the survey asks questions such as, what do you think of the Kirk News? What do you think about the format and the content in general, not just this one? And what type of articles you would like to see in future? The survey will run for the next 3 months. You can either fill it in the paper copy, take out the centre section and hand it to myself or David Porter, or put it in the box which will be in the fellowship area from next week. Or you can also fill it in online, and there is a link to the survey on our website, and it's also, and I think it's also circulated through Teams. So if you could take a few minutes to fill it in over the next 3 months, that would be really appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew, and thanks to you and David for all your hard work editing the Kirk News month after month. It is very much appreciated. Are there any other intimations to share with our church family at the start of our time together? With those shared then, let us enter into worship through the gift of music by singing our first song of praise together, Seek Ye First. And during the singing of this song, our offering for God's continued work here in Kemnay and beyond will be uplifted.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord God, we are so thankful to be here today in this place. We are thankful that you have spoken into each of our lives, calling each of us to the path of life, to the path of following Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. We are thankful for the guidance you give us every day by the power of your Holy Spirit. In all that we say, in all that we think, in all that we do, we pray, O Lord, that you will always help us to truly seek your kingdom first. In this time of worship, we submit our whole lives before your glorious throne of grace. Use our lives as you will. Use them, Lord, for your glory, for your purposes. And we have returned, Lord, but a portion of what you have freely given to us. May your blessing be upon these offerings. And may they be a sign of our willingness to go where you follow, to obey your will, come what may. So thank you, Lord, for the gift of this time together. Thank you for the gift of your love. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, which lives within each of us. May your love continue to grow in us until Christ is our all in all. We pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Now we sing our next hymn of praise, Christ is Made the Sure Foundation.
Thank you. Looks like we don't have any kiddos with us this morning, so it's adult children's sermon round two. So one of the things that we're going to be talking about this morning is abiding in Jesus. Does anyone know what abiding means? If anyone's feeling bold, you could raise your hand, or I can go on with it. So abiding is basically like staying somewhere. It's like somewhere that you live. Now, I think you guys can guess what this is. Does anyone have any guesses about the picture that I'm showing to you this morning? It's a house, yeah. You abide in your house because you live there. That's somewhere where you stay. Did you know that the same way that you and I live in our houses, that Jesus can actually live inside of us? Jesus wants to make his home in you and me, inside of our hearts. Do you know how Jesus does that? I have a couple more pictures to illustrate this. Does anyone know what this is? Yes, a Bible. And how about these? We're going to be doing this morning. Communion elements. And as we read our Bibles and we take communion, as we engage in these tangible things and that sacrament, Jesus is actually making his home inside of each one of us. Do you guys know what happens when Jesus lives in us? Got another picture here. Christmas gift. When Jesus lives in us, he actually gives us the gift of his love and his joy. And that's actually why I believe Jesus wants us to read our Bibles or to come to church. It's not really about us ticking a box or us being good enough Christians for God. It's about a gift that Jesus wants to give to us, which is intimacy with himself. He wants to fill our hearts with his love and his joy, and through that, to love our neighbor as ourself and to love God. So will you guys join me in a repeat after me prayer? Jesus, thank you for making your home in us.
Thank you for making your home in us.
Jesus,
we pray that you would fill us
with your own love and joy.
Help us
to love our neighbors,
to love our siblings,
to love our children,
to love everyone.
We pray these things
in your name, Jesus.
Amen. That's it for the number two adults children's sermon.
As David has so rightly said, God wants to fill us with the joy and the love of Jesus Christ. And this is because God is so very, very good. And so we sing now in that spirit our next song, Oh, 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 How Good Is the Lord.
Jesus. Reading today is from John chapter 15, and this can be found on page 1083 in your church Bible. We start at verse 5, and then we'll move on to verse 16. So John chapter 15, starting at verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And then moving on to verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command, love each other. And the second reading is from Romans chapter 12. And this can be found on page 1139 in the Bibles. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Living sacrifices. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Amen, and thanks be to God for the reading of his word.
Thank you, Joyce. We now sing our next hymn of praise, this time without clapping. All my hope on God is founded.
A good clap. So we are in week 8 out of 10 in our prayer series for the summer. This week's sermon is titled, Life with God, Your Will Be Done. This week we're going to be diving deeper into something that Josh actually touched on last week. What does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? Does praying in Jesus' name work like a genie in a bottle? Do we just get whatever we want if we have enough faith? We're going to look at a couple passages of Scripture to help shed some light on this, in John 15 and Romans 12. But first, we're going to start out with John. Now, you may recall that we actually have already preached on John 15 in our sermon series a few weeks ago. But much like prayer itself, this passage in John is multifaceted. It has many different dimensions, and we're going to be looking at a new one this morning. So I want to get right into it, into verse 7, because I think this prompts a lot of our questions and makes us wonder what Jesus is talking about. Jesus says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you." Now I wonder, what in the world is Jesus saying here? It almost seems like he's just giving us free license to ask for whatever we want and saying, "Yeah, I'll give it to you, just ask me." He promises that he'll give us what we want. Is that what's going on here? I think the answer to that is both yes and no, and we're going to get into that this morning. If you notice, the promise that Jesus gives here is actually conditional on our abiding in him. Jesus says, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you." Now, why does Jesus give this condition to this promise? I think it's because the prayer that Jesus is talking about here is not just about us getting what we want if we have enough faith. If that were true, then that would make prayer all about us. If we turn to Romans, to our Romans 12 passage, I think we actually see a different posture of prayer. In verse 1, Paul says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." We see a different posture here. Paul's talking about a posture of presenting ourselves to God as living sacrifices, giving ourselves over completely to God's will. This kind of prayer is a position of submission to God and to God's will. And Paul says that this kind of prayer is pleasing to God. In his words, it's holy and acceptable to God. And Paul continues on in verse 2. He says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Now, our human default is to be conformed to this world, a world that, as we know, is broken. It's ruled by sin and death, and we see that all around us. Even our own natural desires and our inclinations are often in contradiction with God's will. But as we enter into relationship with God, something happens. We begin to undergo a transformation. Paul calls this the renewal of our minds. God begins to reveal his will to us, that we can test and discern and know what is the will of God. Our will actually begins to fall in line with God's own will for us and our world. Now, what does that mean? I think turning back now to John 15 will help shed some more light on what this transformation is all about. In verse 5, Jesus says the following, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Something happens to us when we abide in Christ. We begin to bear fruit. Jesus even says much fruit by his power. What is this fruit? Jesus continues on in verse 17. He says, "These things I command you so that you will love one another." Love is the fruit that Jesus is talking about here. Love for God and love for our neighbor lived out in our lives. As we abide in Christ, as we are in relationship with him, Jesus actually begins to grow his own love in us for God the Father and for our neighbor. Now we see in verse 7 that Jesus says, whatever we wish, we can ask him. The thing is, as Jesus' love grows in us, he begins to reshape us. Suddenly, whatever we wish actually starts looking a lot more and more like what God wishes for us and for our world, for our neighbor. Our prayers actually start to fit in to the redemptive work that God is at this moment doing in our world, in our lives. It's as if Jesus is saying here, if you abide in me, you'll be transformed. My love will start to grow in you. Your desires will begin to fall in line with my own desires. Your prayers will begin to fall in line with what I am doing in the world. And I will answer your prayers. 1 John 5:14, we have this promise. If we pray anything according to his will, he hears us. That's something that we can trust in as we bring these desires to God. Now, if Jesus is really just talking about praying according to God's will, according to his will, praying for what he is doing in the world, I wonder why he puts it this way. It seems like kind of a roundabout way of asking us to pray according to his will, saying for us to pray whatever we wish. It seems almost misconstruing what's going on here. But I think there's something deeper going on. I think God actually wants to conform our desires to his own. See, prayer isn't just about what I want or what each of us wants. That kind of prayer would tend to be selfish, self-centered. But neither do I think that this kind of prayer is only about what God wants in a detached way. That could easily become passionless, could become legalistic. We would just be dragging our feet through the Lord's prayer of his will be done without actually even really wanting that to happen. I think a faithful prayer is actually what both we and God want together as he transforms our desires. God actually wants us to be able to pray for his will to be done with our whole hearts. And God is transforming us and renewing us so that we can do that, so that we can pray faithfully. Now, our prayers of petition are not a bad thing. I don't think it's bad for us to bring our desires to God, bring our petitions to God with prayer and thanksgiving. But in addition to these prayers of petition, God is inviting us into a transforming, renewing relationship. In this relationship, we're being transformed from self-centeredness to God-centeredness. Our petitions are actually beginning to fall in line with what God himself is doing in our world right now. Now, why should we want this? I think it's actually cool. Jesus, he says this to us in verse 11. He says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." This isn't just a passionless, heartless thing. In this new God-led prayer life, as our prayers become a part of what God is doing, we find a joy that we've never known before, a full and a complete joy in Christ. From union with him, Christ says that his own joy is actually going to live in us. There's nothing better than this, than direct relationship with God, Christ abiding in us as we pray according to his will. So if this prayer is happening in the context of our relationship with Jesus, as we abide in him, as God renews our minds, we're going to need to know how that works. How do we abide in Christ? How does God renew our minds? Jesus actually tells us a few things about how this works in the Gospel of John. He says in chapter 15, verse 7, that if his words abide in us, part of abiding, I believe, is actually letting the word of Christ abide in us, dwell in us, remain in us. This is something that happens as we begin to study Scripture. Christ's word actually takes root in our lives and becomes a part of who we are. It's not just an external thing. God writes it on our hearts. As we read and study, God himself is actually using Scripture to renew us, to transform us in Christ's image, and to make us more like Jesus. So word, also sacrament. In chapter 6, verse 56 of John's Gospel, Jesus says, "Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." Part of abiding in Christ is letting the body and blood of Christ abide in us. This is something that happens as we take communion together, and we're going to do that later in this service. When we eat the bread, when we drink the wine, the Holy Spirit is actually at work bringing us into communion with God himself, uniting us with Christ and renewing us according to his image. Not only this, but also baptism. In John 1:32, we have John the Baptist witnessing Jesus' own baptism. It says, "And John the Baptist bore witness, 'I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it abided on him.'" Part of abiding in Christ is being baptized into Christ and receiving the Holy Spirit who abides in us. This happens in the sacrament of baptism and the life of faith. When we're baptized through the work of the Holy Spirit, our old selves are actually crucified with Christ, and Christ himself, Jesus, comes alive in us. This is renewal in Christ. So we have word and we have sacrament. We also have love. In verse 10, Jesus says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." In verse 12, he gets specific. He says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Part of abiding is holding on to Christ's commandment of love. As Christ's commandment begins to take root in our lives and guide our lives, we continue on in his love. It's not earning his love, but it's living life in communion with God, loving our neighbor as ourself. I think there's an important note to hear at this point too. I had a former mentor and professor, actually my chaplain back at Whitworth, who had a really helpful illustration for what it looks like to abide in Christ, to take word and sacrament. He talked about it like a sailboat. He said, when you go out on a sailboat, you have to open your sail. You have to tie the knots. There are things that we do when we go sailing, but if you guys know how a sailboat works, if the wind's not blowing, you're not going anywhere. It's actually the same way with abiding in Christ. We have a God-given role. God is calling us to himself through word, also through sacrament, through loving our neighbor. But just like the sailboat, it's not these things in themselves that are going to bear fruit in our lives. They're going to transform us. It's actually God himself meeting us in these things through the Holy Spirit that begins to transform our lives. As we pray with God-centered petitions for God's kingdom to come and his will to be done in our lives, in our neighbor's lives, in our world, we'll begin to see our prayers answered in a new way. In verse 7, we have this promise. Jesus says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for anything you wish and it will be done for you." It will. Why? Because as we're being submitted to God and transformed in his love, our prayers of petition are falling in line with his work in our world. In this transforming relationship with God, we get to participate through prayer in the work that God is doing for his kingdom. When we pray in Jesus' name, according to his will, we can be confident that he will hear and answer our prayers. See, the thing is, God is going to accomplish his purposes in our lives and his world. There's no question about that. It's a certainty. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 11, Paul puts it this way. He says that God works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. God is in control. But he wants us to actually play a part in his purposes. He's inviting us into this by praying, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." Your kingdom come, your will be done in Chemne, as in heaven. In St. Anne's Episcopal Church, in Chemne Parish Church, as in heaven. at Alehouse Wells, at Kemeny Primary, at Kemeny Academy, as in heaven, at Littlewood Court, at the Grove Care Home, as in heaven, in my friend's life, in my family member's life, in my own life, as in heaven. God is at work in all of these places, right now at this very moment, the living God. And he's actually inviting us to be a part of that through this prayer. God is at work in these places. In conclusion, God is drawing us into a prayer life that is bigger than just us. It's bigger than just our own isolated wants, our own isolated desires. Jesus is actually inviting us to pray in his name, to pray according to his will for us and our world. He's drawing us out of prayer that is only self-centered and into a prayer that is centered on him and what he is doing. As we abide in him, as we are renewed by him, he's conforming our desires to his own, conforming our will to his own, and inviting us through prayer to join him in his redemptive work in our world. So let's abide in Christ today through word and through sacrament. Let's pray your kingdom come, your will be done here as in heaven. Amen.
We've heard today we abide in and through Jesus Christ. He is the true foundation on which we all shall stand.
Thank you.
friends, brothers and sisters, we have heard this morning that Jesus Christ is the true, the living vine. We are the branches who must abide in him, who must be connected to the life that only he can give. Jesus comes to us through the spoken word of preaching. But just as importantly, Jesus comes to us through these tangible signs of the bread and the cup. We gather together to meet Jesus at this table. And whether we have carried our burdens for days, weeks, months, years, lifetimes, Jesus is calling us to lay all of our burdens on this table, to cast our burdens upon him. We gather to meet Jesus through the bread and through the cup, for it is here through these ordinary elements that we receive sacred nourishment for our journey as disciples. It is here that we receive courage and strengthened faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this table and these elements laid upon it, they do not belong to Kemne Parish Church. They do not belong to the Church of Scotland or to any other denomination. No, this table, these elements belong only to Jesus Christ. And it is he who is calling all who have placed their trust in him to partake of these elements together. So friends, come to Jesus, not because you must, but because you may. Come to Jesus, not because you are strong already. Come to Jesus because you are weak. Come to Jesus, not because any goodness of our own gives us the right to do so, but come to Jesus because we need his mercy and his help. Come to Jesus because you love him just a little and would very much like to love him more. Come to Jesus because he loves you and freely gave himself for you. Come to this table. Come and meet the risen Christ, for we are his body, his church, the sheep of his pasture. And may the grace and love of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Hear now the words of institution, faithfully recorded for us by Paul the Apostle in his first letter to the Corinthians. Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed into the hands of sinners, he took bread, and after he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, Jesus also took the cup after supper and said, 'This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread, as often as you drink this cup, we do proclaim the Lord's saving death until he comes again.'" I invite us to follow along now with a great thanksgiving on your laminate sheets. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Eternal God, holy and mighty, it is truly right and our greatest joy to give you our thanks and praise and to worship you in every place, in every season of human life. We confess you to be the creator of all things. You lay the foundations of the cosmos. They are the work of your hands. They shall one day perish, but you shall endure forever and ever. You, Lord, are always the same, and your time will never end. We believe that you have fashioned each of us in your image. You have called us to be your people, your witnesses in the world. But we confess, Lord, that we often turn away from the joy of knowing you and your love, and instead follow the ways of sin and death. But still, your great love knows no bounds, and your goodness and mercy pursue us through each day of our lives. And in the saving work of Jesus Christ, the power of death has been defeated forever, and the way of life eternal is open to all who are washed in the saving blood of the Lamb. Therefore, we join with all of your people in every time, in every place, proclaiming, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. With the confidence of those who have been called, claimed, and redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ, we join our voices together now in prayer with the words that he himself taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We invite our servers for the bread to please come forward. Sisters, this is the body of Christ which is broken for us. Take and eat, and do so in remembrance of Jesus. Invite the servers for the wine forward now, please. This cup is the renewed covenant sealed in the blood of Jesus Christ. It is shed that the sins of a limitless many might be completely forgiven. Drink from it, all of us. May the joy, love, and peace of Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us now show each other a sign of this love, joy, and peace.
Our prayers for the world. Let us pray. As we come together in communion with you, Lord, we confirm our love for you and recognize again the sacrifice that you made for us. We are reminded of our Christian values to treat everyone equally with respect and dignity, sharing and caring for others. Help us to be forgiving of others too, and strive to be more like your Son, Jesus, every day. We are so lucky to live here in Kemney, where your love and support continues to enhance our lives. So many others in the world are less fortunate than we are. For those living in Syria, Myanmar, the Yemen, Somalia, et al., life must be frightening, not knowing if their houses will be destroyed, not knowing if they can afford to feed their families, not knowing if they will be attacked at any time. Our lives seem idyllic in comparison. Yet,
While we this week have basked in our normal mid-temperature summer, only a few hundred miles south in Whaley Bridge, inhabitants have had to leave their houses because torrential rain has caused the nearby dam wall to fracture. We can only imagine the terror of being given 15 minutes to leave their houses, their belongings, knowing that they may never see them again. Give all these people, Lord, the fortitude to face such devastating adversity. We pray for them today, knowing that you are our strength always and are theirs too. Dear Lord, we pray for the people of Hong Kong who are struggling to maintain a semblance of democracy, and the women of Saudi Arabia who have been allowed one step of independence in that they can now apply to carry their own passports and travel more freely without male guardianship. Dear Lord, we wonder why so many people are prepared to take dangerous routes from Africa to find a better life in Europe. Encourage governments in the more affluent countries to look more closely at why these people are leaving. Set in place schemes to stop the desert areas expanding and make the land more fruitful instead of complaining that their own countries are becoming overcrowded. Relatively speaking, we do have people in this country who are struggling to feed and clothe their families. Also those who find it difficult to interact with others. Be with them, Lord. Remind them that you are with them always, and guide others who are more fortunate to bring them support and joy in knowing you. We bring before you the names of those we know who are ill or in difficulty just now. Hold them close to your heart. Lord, help us to share your goodness with all those we meet, recognizing difference and respecting individuality. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Anne. We now sing our closing hymn of praise to God. Take my life, Lord, let it be.
Thank you.
word, through the table, through the font, we are joined with Jesus Christ, the true vine. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we abide in him. Go forth from this place then and live out the God-given calling we have to abide in Christ, to show him to the world around us. And may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, may it fall afresh upon each of us and upon all who we love this day and forevermore.